What do you mean?
Good morning. I'm opening this meeting of the House Committee on Revenue Wednesday, May 29th. We are going to do some work sessions first, work sessions on bills that we have already heard, and they appear to be rather simple. I think they will go quickly. That's my expectation. I'm opening a work session on Senate Bill 837.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. If you might recall, Senate Bill 837 deals with property taxes, and after an appeals process where an individual has had the value of their home adjudicated, it says that the value of the property can be adjusted if that property were sold subsequently in 5 years. So it essentially allows the property tax roll to be corrected.
Thank you. Representative Finley, might you have a...
Absolutely. Yeah, here we go.
837?
Yes. I'm sorry, I'm asleep at the switch, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 837 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Finley moves Senate Bill 837 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion passes. Do we have a volunteer for carrying the bill? Representative Hernandez.
All right, Dean.
Tag, you're it. I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 837. I'm opening a work session on Senate Bill 81.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 81 simply aligns the timber tax deadline with income tax return for small or infrequent harvesters. For large harvesters, the billing process and due dates will stay the same. But if you incur a liability less than $1,500, you would pay that with your regular property taxes.
Are we ready for a motion?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 81 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Finley moves Senate Bill 81 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion passes. Volunteer for this one? Representative Reschke, thank you. Closing the work session on Senate Bill 81. Opening a work session on Senate Bill 79A.
Members of the committee, Senate Bill 79A, just as a quick reminder of what the bill is, it was a bill introduced on behalf of the Department of Revenue, and it's relating to the other agency accounts of the Department of Revenue, which is more or less the collection agency housed within the Department of Revenue. And the bill was making some a couple changes. The first is just clarifications on existing law related to how DOR interacts with it's going to be other public entities, local governments, and such in collecting debt, and then. There's also some change allowing some local governments to opt in to use the Department of Revenue's tax refund offset program to collect some outstanding debts. We do have the paperwork on this. Again, because the underlying contents of the bill are these is a may, there's no shall, so governments can opt in to use these OAA collection agency accounts. The fiscal and revenue impacts are indeterminate at this time. Again, there could be a slight increase in collections. Why else would local governments use this collection service?
Thank you. Representative Marsh, can we have a motion?
Chair Nathanson, I move SB 79A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Marsh moves Senate Bill 79A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion passes. Volunteer to carry this? Or Representative Smith, thank you. Closing the work session on Senate Bill 79A. I'm opening a work session on Senate Bill 80A.
Chair, members of the committee, as a reminder, Senate Bill 80A allows property tax statements and related correspondence to be delivered via methods other than traditional mail, such as email. It requires the Department of Revenue to notify owners of timber harvested from small tract forest land that a severance tax return is needed, and it makes that form available by mail unless another method of notification is requested by the owner. It takes effect on the 91st day following adjournment sine die. There's no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
Well, that's cool. Thanks. A motion, please.
Chair Nathanson, I move Senate Bill 88 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Marsh moves Senate Bill 88 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Representative Marsh?
Sure.
Thank you. Carriers, Representative Marsh. I am closing the work session on Senate Bill 80A. And the winner is, thank you. Committee, without objection, would we entertain the possibility of Representative Smith being able to vote on any bill that he missed? Representative Smith, how would you like to vote?
I would be an aye vote.
Thank you.
He'd also like to carry it.
Whatever it was, right?
I don't have my glasses.
I'm announcing that House Bill 2449A relating to emergency communications is scheduled for tomorrow. So if anyone is in the room for that, we're not doing that one this morning. And House Bill 2429, with apologies, I know there's at least one person in the audience here anticipating this. 2429 will be rescheduled for another day. I don't know whether it will be tomorrow or another day, but we will not be doing that one this morning either. There are some other bills that we're waiting for paperwork. We're waiting for some other action. We may get to a discussion on them today. And we're so fast that we cannot do House Bill 3197 yet this morning. So we will move next to the public hearing. And in this public hearing, which is only for the purpose of hearing about some amendments that have been prepared, I am going to allow no more than 30 minutes for this public hearing. I am allowing the author of the amendments 5 minutes to explain whichever amendment or amendments are of most interest that he would like to tell the committee about. We will allow 5 minutes for that, and the remainder of the time to split either evenly among everyone who has signed up to testify, or if some of you decide someone is speaking on your behalf or shares your opinion, you might go in together. It looks like everyone at this point might get around 2 minutes each. We'll figure that out. Representative Holvey, I'm opening a public hearing on House Bill 2495 for the purpose of considering amendments.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. Paul Holvey, State Representative, District 8, for the record. I'm bringing forward for your consideration 3 different amendments to House Bill 2495. These are amendments are based on trying to raise the harvest tax to enable a forest fire fund, a wildfire suppression fund, deal with the impacts of the increasing catastrophic fires that we face in this state going forward, and also their impacts on the general fund. Since pre-major five and some of the legislation that's happened in the 90s, we've lost the severance tax. And in previous hearings, you'll see a slide that shows the disappearance of the severance tax and what that has done. So, and then also we've compared our taxes to the state of Washington. And generally, it looks like the state of Washington pays about four times more in property and harvest and severance tax, taxes, total tax, compared to the state of Oregon. So to bring us in better parity with the state of Washington and being able to address wildfires in a better way, I propose the Dash 1 amendment, which imposes a 2.5% on the value of timber severance tax. That is in the Dash 1 amendment. And the Dash 2 amendment increases the harvest tax by $10 per 1,000 board feet. And both of these direct the money to a wildfire suppression fund that's part of the forest products harvest tax. So also, the Dash 4 does not raise the tax, but does redirect 60% of the money that goes to the Oregon Forest Research Institute to this new wildfire suppression fund. Just briefly, trying to figure out some way for us to start building a self-insurance fund to deal with these issues. It is disturbing when I look at the total tax and compare it to Washington and, you know, see tens and tens of millions of dollars going out of our general fund for wildfire suppression fund for fire costs when the general fund is paying, according to our facts and figures, which you'll see in previous reiterations on OLIS in 2495, our charts that show that. So that when we see, you know, ads on TV about the Forest Practices Act while our forests are on fire, it really makes you wonder what the priority is when that portion of the tax is more than what goes into the wildfire, the Forest Lands Protection Fund. So these are just meant to bring some revenues back in that we lost in the 90s due to the disappearance of the severance tax. And we sorely need these in our communities and across the state to fight wildfires. Those are the three basic amendments before you. I'm trying to keep to your 5 minutes. So there's the Dash 1, which is a 2.5% tax on value. There's the Dash 2, which is a $10 per 1,000 board feet on volume of timber. And then the Dash 4 just simply does a very small amount into a new fund to fight wildfires by diverting 60% of the monies that go to the Oregon Forest Research Institute to a wildfire suppression fund. That's it, just real briefly.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you for bringing the amendments and explaining them to us.
That's right. Never mind. Okay. I'll do it later.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we have, it looks like 15 people signed up to testify. Some of you identify with the same organization, perhaps. You may want to figure out how you want to share your time if you want to. Otherwise, let's see. We don't have time for 2 minutes each. It'll be a little under 2 minutes each. We'll set the timer for 1 minute and then gauge about a half a minute extra to allow you to continue, complete your thoughts. We will start with Jim James. And also, please, to save time, Greg Peterson and Sarah Demling are next. After that will be Aaron Isselman, James Johnson, and Quincy Powers. And please begin as soon as you're seated.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Chairman Nathanson, Vice Chair Marsh, members of the House Revenue Committee, my name is Jim James. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Small Woodlands Association. I did testify at the first hearing on House Bill 2495, and so I would like to continue that message. Cherry picking a bunch of numbers to come up with a scheme to suggest that forest landowners are not paying their fair share of taxes and fire protection is a scam. And I said so at the first hearing, and I'd like to make that point again. I believe I just heard that Washington State pays more than Oregon. That is simply not true. They're very similar. They're close to the 50-50 split. But to suggest that the severance tax is now a big factor, you have to go back and consider why the severance tax was eliminated. There's been a ton of changes in the wood products industry since the 70s. Land use laws, forest practice laws, the fact that the government quit selling timber and that the wood products industry is downsized dramatically. All those are huge factors in why the current tax structure exists today. There was a lot of rationale that went into the development of that program. And continual attacks on forest landowners is simply not fair. I would like to address the three amendments. The one on the severance tax just doesn't make any sense at all. If you look at the facts, and you quit cherry-picking the information, you will see that, that what is suggested just isn't fair or equitable. The additional $10 charge, the same argument. Trying to steal money from OFRI to pay for fire. OFRI provides a great service to Oregonians. Woods products is a major industry in this state, and OFRI helps educate the public about that industry, and any industry would argue that that's really valuable to Oregon in general. So I would please suggest that you do not move these bills forward. They just don't make any sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Greg Peterson. I'm a small woodland owner, and I spend literally thousands of dollars every year controlling noxious weeds and keeping my fire roads open so that there is minimal fire risk. And I do a much better job than the adjacent state-owned property which surrounds me. It is necessary to take care of my share of the fire risk. I'm particularly concerned about HB 2495 because this increased tax comes on top of the recently passed gross receipts tax. And the problem with that is that the gross receipts tax is pyramided for landowners such as myself. Not only does the logger have to pay the gross receipts tax, but the mill, the sorting yard, the log buyer, the wholesaler, the retailer, and the contractor all have to pay the gross receipts tax. When you add that all up, it's equivalent to about a 3.5% tax. And the problem is that because wood products are sold on the open market, that tax cannot be passed on to the consumer, but instead it gets pulled down and is added to what we have to pay. And so essentially it reduces our cost by 3.5% to 4%. So basically, it is a sales tax on us that we already pay. And the other point is that if the cap and trade bill passes, if that comes to pass, that also will heavily hit the forest products industry. Because not only do we have pickups, but we drive a lot more miles, because we're all rural Oregonians, than the typical city dweller. But we also have literally half a dozen pieces of equipment that are also fossil fuel powered. And also, we are the only group that works every single day to sequester carbon and to reduce Oregon's greenhouse gases. And we will be glad to continue that effort if we're still financially viable. I fear that with 2495, it takes away from our financial viability, and I'm not sure that we'll be able to continue with that and cap and trade to ever be a viable community, because
we need to move on to the next speaker.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning, committee and chair. My name is Sarah Däumling. I'm a forest land owner in Polk County, and I'm also speaking in opposition to these amendments in this bill, the intent of which seems to be to squeeze forest landowners once again closer to the financial brink. And I don't say it jokingly. We make our living managing our forest land, and it's meager, but it's what we've got, and we would like to keep on doing it. My family, we put all we have into doing the best job we can for ourselves, but also for the community and the state we love. Currently, we forest owners pay something like 50% of the cost of firefighting, which we do graciously, and we understand why. However, we generally do not start fires. It's the last thing we would want to do. We maintain fire equipment and fire ponds as a water source for the community. We shut down the forest completely when fire danger is high. We offer our equipment and manpower to neighbors should they ever need it. On the other hand, the public starts fires in many careless ways. And to the tax issue, I think because Oregon has tax problems isn't a reason to solve them on the back of forest land, of family forest landowners. The public benefits enormously from the very existence of our forest lands in so many ways that are not compensated. Just our own forest, there we allow horseback riding, hunting, all sorts of school and our continuous canopy of trees absorbs large amount of carbon to combat climate change. Our forest ecosystem offers more species diversity than any other ecosystem in the state. Even a poorly managed forest is better than no forest land at all. We pollute less than all the other types of land in the state, except the desert, probably. I think instead of taxing us more, you should pay us for all our unpaid services. Finally, the very existence of our forests is one of the best hedges against the climate change, which is driving the increase of both the number and intensity of fires. We should be encouraged to practice good forestry, but certainly not punished with more taxes. What good will it do when we reach the brink and convert our forest land to other uses?
Don't
pass these bills, but talk to one of us.
Thank you for your comments. Next, we will hear from Aaron, James, and Quincy. After that, please be ready. Gordon Culbertson, Rick Barnes, Mike Arsati.
Yes, good morning, Chair Nathanson and members of the committee. My name is Quincy Powers, and I am the chair of the board of directors of the Oregon Forest Resources Institute, which is known by the acronym OFRI. My family is the owner of the Powers Ranch, which is located in Coos and Curry counties. In addition to raising cattle, our ranch also includes highly productive forest land. I'm serving my second term on the OFRI board. The OFRI board is comprised of 10 voting members that represent forest landowners in Oregon. The board also has one liaison from the Oregon Department of Forestry, one public representative position, and the dean of the Oregon State University College of Forestry, who serve on the board in an advisory role. OFRI was established in 1991 by the Oregon Legislature. OFRI's mission is to educate Oregonians about our state's forests and their sustainable management. Oregon leads the nation in production of softwood lumber and plywood, and the forest sector represents approximately 4% of the GDP. OFRI is modeled to operate as a commodity commission similar to the 23 other commodity commissions in Oregon. OFRI's programs span three main categories: public education, K through 12 education, and landowner education. Each of these programs addresses a unique audience within the state. OFRI's work is funded by a portion of the forest products harvest tax, which forest landowners pay upon harvesting timber. The forest products harvest tax applies to timber harvested from private lands in Oregon, except most tribal lands. The tax rate is established by the OFRI board annually, and the current rate is $1.09 per 1,000 board feet. The portion of the forest products harvest tax that funds OFRI is a privilege tax similar to the privilege taxes that support other commodity commissions in the state. Amendment 4, which is proposed to House Bill 2495, seeks to divert 60% of OFRI's annual budget to the creation of a wildfire suppression fund. Obviously, a diversion of more than half of OFRI's annual budget would seriously compromise our ability to achieve its mission and objectives rooted in statute nearly three decades ago.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson and members of the House Revenue Committee. My name is Erin Isselman, and I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Forest Resources Institute. OFRI provides a comprehensive set of programs to fulfill its mission to educate Oregonians about the state's forest and sustainable practices. At the foundation of our work is a regular cadence of research about the Oregonians' values and beliefs related to our state's forests. We conduct in-depth statewide surveys every 4 years. This provides us with information to understand what Oregonians know about our forests and our forest practices. It also identifies sources of information about the forest and forest practices and whether those sources are accurate or pinpoints knowledge gaps that OPRI works to fill with the public. Our survey work also reveals the public values that what they value most about our state's forests and increases our understanding of the public's concerns with respect to forestry in the state. We use this information to develop a public education program, which is targeted to inform all Oregonians about our forest and forest practices. We develop an annual television campaign across the state to help Oregonians better understand the contribution of Oregon's working forests to our watersheds, our natural habitats, and the state's economy. And we also develop a comprehensive set of resources to help the public understand the role of the forest sector in the state. These include a biennial publication, Oregon's Forest Facts, which is our most popular publication. We also maintain a website, oregonforest.org. We also do forest sector analysis every 4 years, and we commission special research projects to look at the latest science in forestry with respect to water quality, wildfire, and we're starting to look at forest carbon as well. Latest research from January informs our activities, and what we are finding is that there are, as you know, many new residents in Oregon from the past 4 years. And many of these value the beauty and recreation opportunities of Oregon's forests, but they also impact and value the economic impact. And while this, while forestry is one of the state's principal economic growth drivers, newer residents don't have extensive knowledge about forestry practices and protection. Our latest work addresses these knowledge gaps and helps to provide Oregonians with the latest facts and science behind our sustainable forestry practices.
Thank you for your comments. And those of you who have them in writing, you are welcome to provide them to the staff, and we'll post the entire written comment. Next speaker.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Nathanson, members of the House Revenue Committee. My name is Jim Johnson. I am the Senior Associate Dean of the College of Forestry at Oregon State University. Also serve as the program leader for the Forestry and Natural Resources Extension Program here in the state. I've worked with OFRI over the course of my career at OSU, and OFRI it has proven itself to be an outstanding and integral partner in forest landowner education throughout the state. Over the years, they've helped fund and manage our Master Woodland Manager program, which is, has been up and running for 25 years, the Women Owning Woodlands Network over the past 10 years, and also a strong supporter of our tree school events throughout the state with both teaching and financial support over the past 25 years as well. In addition, OFRI produces outstanding publications that are of great value to landowners and citizens in this state, including the Illustrated Manual on Oregon's Forest Practices Acts, which has become a Bible for small woodland owners. Also, the Wildlife and Managed Forest Series, which help landowners understand and protect the wildlife in our forests. OFRI also works very closely with the Oregon Small Woodlands Association, reaching about 1,500 landowners per year through training tours and various meetings. OFRI also is very willing and able to tackle some of the tough forestry issues in the state, including fire, climate change, bioenergy, forest management and drinking water, clear cutting, herbicide use in forests, and mass timber production and construction. In short, OFRI is a valuable partner, and we are not sure where we'd be in our program at OSU without the help and support of them. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. All of you. Next, we'll hear from Gordon, Rick, and Mike. After that will be Gary Bush, Peter Doherty, Jerome. The last name starts with an R.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson and committee members. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. I'm here today to oppose House Bill 2495 and all of its amendments. My name is Gordon Culbertson.
Thank you.
And we're family forest owners in Lane and Douglas counties. Today I'm representing three generations with my comments. 2495 is unfair legislation that shifts all costs of fire protection on to landowners in the form of severance tax. A severance tax is inappropriate for this type of funding. 96% of all fires are not related to harvest. Only 14% of acres burned are on private forests. Amendment 3, I'd like to address that specifically, is a thinly veiled assault on Oregon Forest Resources Institute. OFRI is an effective educational resource, an authoritative commodity commission for one of Oregon's most important business sectors. I speculate this attempt to starve OFRI of its funding is driven by anti-forestry activists who wish to silence voices with diverse viewpoints. I cannot believe that this is being proposed at a time that the governor has appointed a Oregon Wildfire Response Council, and this is an end run around that. Why would we do that? Oregon landowners already pay the highest assessments for fire protection in the nation, and the neighboring states pay all fire costs from the general fund. With that, I urge you to oppose and defeat this very, very punitive legislation. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson and members of the House Revenue Committee. My name's Rick Barnes. I'm a small woodlands owner, a forestry consultant, and work with many small woodland owners. I'm going to emphasize, first of all, I'm strongly opposed to House Bill 2495 and all the amendments. I'm going to focus on a couple of things. One, Gordon mentioned that a really small percentage of the fires are started by operators. Most of them are the general public or lightning. And we make tremendous investments in preparedness for fire. Personally, we own two fire trucks and associated fire equipment. We train all of our foresters annually on fire suppression. We spend the money to train three of them to be hired for leadership positions in fires. I spent all day yesterday up here dealing with fire preparedness issues. So we're totally committed. In 2017, there was a nearby fire. No resources were available. So we came to use our equipment, our staff, to help fight that fire that was started by the general public. OFRI, the Oregon Forest Resource Institute, that's a tremendous contribution to the state of Oregon. I strongly oppose shifting any funding away from that. The Oregon Forest Protection Law Book is used by private landowners, used by Oregon Department of Forestry, used by forestry consultants, and many, many valuable documents that they prepare and information that they do in educating our public. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Nathanson and members of the committee, my name is Mike Barsotti. I'm a Linn County family forest landowner, current president of Oregon Small Woodlands Association, and a member of the Governor's Wildlife Response Committee, Council's Suppression Subcommittee. I've provided written testimony, and I'd like to focus on just three basic areas. One, there's a public policy that the public and the landowners share the cost of wildfires. It's in ORS 321.012. This amendments will effectively move all costs to the landowners without any discussion of this policy of the public paying a share of fighting wildfire. And as Rick just mentioned, the public is a major source of causing wildfires. Second, on OFRI, an example, I'm a graduate forester. I'm currently reforesting a portion of my property and focusing on how to provide songbird habitat in these earlies. It was through OFRI, their publication and workshops that they provided, that gave me an insight on the needs of songbird habitat in these early cereal stages. And the third point I'm also mentioned is while we have people from all walks of life working on this Governor's Wildlife Response Council on how to deal with fire, it makes no sense to create a policy to change it while in just a few months this council is going to provide data on how best Oregon can move forward in dealing with this threat of wildfire.
Thank you for your comments. We're moving next to, we have only 5 minutes left and six people left signed up to testify. If you have comments in writing, I would urge you to please give them to staff so that we can read them and not take the time, because I'll just have to cut people off. Signed up next is Gary Bush, Peter Doherty, and Jerome. Each. I urge you to focus on something we haven't heard already this morning, since time is so short.
Morning, Chair Nathanson and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Peter Doherty, and I serve as the Oregon State Forester. The department has no position on House Bill 2495 or its amendments, but remain concerned about many of the aspects of the bill and its amendments. The first primary concern is it creates a second fund that parallels the existing Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund. This would complicate our financial tracking. Currently, the Emergency Fire Cost Committee has two staff positions. The department would have to administer the new fund with a ready stress financial tracking staff. The dash one and the dash twos would significantly increase the taxes on forest lands. This increase in cost to landowners would challenge the financial viability of lower productivity lands, particularly in eastern and southwest Oregon. And what hasn't been said now, since the tax is paid by timber owners, it would also affect our public lands, lowering the amount of revenue to do needed fuels reduction and restoration treatments.
Thanks.
Great.
Anything written, please give it to staff. We will read the materials.
Thank you.
Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, my name is Jerome Rosa, and I'm the executive director of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. The Oregon Cattlemen's Association represents nearly 2,000 members across the entire state, and beef is large. Is Oregon's largest agricultural product at nearly $1 billion a year now. Timber revenue is a secondary source of income for many of my members. Landowners currently pay 50% of the fire costs in the state. House Bill 2495 shifts the entire burden to pay for these fires caused by the public or nature onto landowners. Landowners who cause fires by harvest operations are already responsible for costs up to $300,000, or up to the total cost if negligent. Finally, the Oregon Cattlemen's Association oppose House Bill 2495. Thank you for your time.
Comments?
I'm Gary Bush, current president of the Clackamas County Farm Forestry Association and member of OSWA. And most everything that I wanted to say has already been said, but as far as the state of Oregon needs revenue, I can't quite understand why we, they own the land that the trees are growing on, why we can't start selling some of the timber off of it to make revenue for the state. It's, and that's about all I have to say. It hasn't been said before.
Very much. I appreciate that. Next, we will have Chris Edwards and Jonathan Sandow.
Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, Jonathan Sandow with Oregon Farm Bureau. I'll be extremely brief, but I just wanted to mention that a lot of farmers across the state do kind of like the short, medium, and long-term crop production on their farms for economic purposes, and timber stands tend to be fall in that long-term camp. And this would just have, you know, pretty adverse impacts, and we completely agree with a lot with what you heard this morning. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. I'm Chris Edwards, representing Oregon Forest and Industries Council. I've also been asked by Associated Oregon Loggers that their comments be associated with mine, as they can't be here this morning. I'll be really quick. I've included in the testimony that we are submitting a breakdown of the forest products harvest tax and where those elements go. It's been implied that because only 62.5 cents of the forest products harvest tax goes to fire suppression, that somehow our values are misaligned, when in fact our landowners pay landowner assessments that fund the bulk of firefighting, fire suppression in the state. Only 14% of acres burned in the state are on private and state lands. Only 4% of starts come from landowner activity on private lands. There simply isn't a good nexus between cutting trees and wildfire starts or acres burned. And we're getting ahead of the Wildfire Council here. So I have a lot more to say and would be happy to take that up with each of you privately in other meetings, this session or in the interim. Thank you.
Thank you. The last speaker will be Paige Spence.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Nathanson and committee members. For the record, Paige Spence here on behalf of the Oregon League of Conservation Voters and seemingly the lone supporter of this bill this morning. Thank you for hearing my testimony. I also wanted to thank Rep. Holby for introducing the bill and Rep. Marsh for working on your fire package so diligently this session. It seems like one thing we all agree on is that more money needs to be available for wildfire management. As Rep. Marsh noted in her most recent newsletter, the National Interagency Fire Center has predicted a heavy wildfire season for areas along the West Coast again this year. And the costs associated with these large fires have become increasingly burdensome and have taken a toll on the state's general fund. Historically, the severance tax was applied at the time of harvest to supplement the reduced amount paid in property taxes on timberland. Since the phase-out of the severance tax in the 1990s, Oregon's general fund has taken on the burden of paying for the cost of large wildfires without an additional revenue stream to supplement the cost. In addition, climate science is anticipating higher costs for fighting wildfires in the coming future, and the current financial system is not adequate for the current realities our state faces. Increasing the forest products harvest tax to create a self-insurance fund for wildfires shifts the burden from taxpayers and the general fund to industrial landowners and timber harvesters. Thank you for considering this bill. We support it with the base bill and with all of the amendments introduced. Thank you.
Thank you for being prepared for brief comments. And thank you, all of you, for your patience in getting through this public hearing. I am closing the public hearing on House Bill 2495. Are we ready, Mr. Alanak, are we ready for a work session on 3197? Yes. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3197.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3197 just extends the time for filing of estate tax returns for those who owe no federal estate tax return. And then the dash one just pulls that in line so that all state tax filers would have the same amount of time so that the administrative process would be more straightforward and streamlined. That's it.
Thank you.
Chair Nathanson, I move the dash one amendment be adopted into House Bill 3197.
Representative Marsh moves the dash A1 amendment adopted into House Bill 3197. Any discussion? Objections? Motion passes.
Chair Nathanson, I move House Bill 3197 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Marsh moves House Bill 3197 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Objections? Motion passes.
I'll hear you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Finley. How agreeable we are. I'm closing the work session on House Bill 3197. Do we have, we will be at ease for a moment. Thank you for that brief pause. We do not have paperwork or other necessary procedural things completed on the other bills. Those will have to be carried over. We are going to hear briefly about one. Opening a work session on House Bill 2128 for the purpose of hearing about the latest status.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2128 was a bill dealing, or is a bill dealing with tax expenditures. It changes the definition, the draft bill changes the definition of tax expenditure slightly, and then requires LRO and DOR to produce a report on how to handle these the implicit sunset issue. In OLIS, there is a dash one amendment. LRO met with Representatives Findley and Hernandez just to talk about possible ways to move forward. And what the dash one amendment does is it leaves the definite, it would replace the bill, and it leaves the definition of the tax expenditure alone and takes any of the tax credit or tax expenditures that have been passed in the past 5 years that have an implicit sunset of 6 years and extends that to 8 years just to get us past this next 2 year period, and requires a report by the Department of Revenue and Legislative Revenue Office to come back in 2021 to provide a little to more detailed analysis and recommendations on how to handle these sunsets. So the report is still there, and the default period of 6 years is extended to 8 years just to get us until the 2021 session. So nothing happens in between. That's what the dash one amendment is doing. We're getting the fiscal, and we're working on the revenue impact right now, and we just want to make sure that we're not stepping on any other tax expenditures that have been modified this session, and to be clear about the revenue impact, because the intent, as I understood it, from the member, from the representatives, was not to really, was basically to put the issue on hold until we can get a study on the impacts and how to handle the implicit sunset issue.
Any questions for Mr. Alanak or discussion?
Good explanation, thanks.
Yes,
I would just like to thank you, Madam Chair. You know, the Legislative Revenue Office did an outstanding job in getting ready for this. And it was, I thought we had a great discussion and made a pretty clear path forward that hopefully will treat everything fairly and equitably and move us through this process.
Thank you both for working on this on behalf of the committee. There's no other discussion. So I am now closing this work session on House Bill 2128. And there is no other work we can complete this morning. But we got a lot done. And I think there are only two bills that remain from this. Well, three. We got some discussion done. There are just a few that remain for a future meeting. We're adjourned.